Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So which one is up there? Both are there, or 18 is there? 18 is there. Okay, so I'll read the first one quickly. Yato na kaschid kva ka kutra chidva dina svam atmanam alam samartha vimochitam kama darshan vihara krida mrigo yan nigado vishagra. Okay, now we'll repeat this verse. Tato viduryat parihat jatya daicheshu sangam vishayat makshu mikshu upetya narayanam adidevam. Samukha sanghar ishito pavarga tato vidurat paritriyai daicha daicheshu sangam vishayatmakeshu upeta narayanam adi devam samukta sangarishito pavaga tato vidurat parihritya daicha daijeshu sangam vishayatmakeshu upeta narayanam adi devam samukta sangarishito pavarga. Mutta sangarishito pavagaha. Matajis? Word for word translation. Yata, because. Na, never. Kaschit, anyone. Kva, in any place. Cha, also. Kutrachit, at any time. Va, or. Dina, having a poor fund of knowledge. Svam own. Atmanam self. Alam exceedingly. Samartaha able. Vimochitam to liberate. Kama drisham of lusty women. Vihara in the sexual enjoyment. Krida mriga a playboy. Yat in whom. Nigada which is the shackle of material bondage. Visharga, the expansions of family relationships. Tata, in such circumstances. Vidurat, from far away. Parihritya, giving up. Daitya, O my friends, sons of the demons. Jaityeshu, among the demons. Sangam, association. Vishaya Atma Keshu, who are too addicted to sense enjoyment. Upetya, one should approach. Narayanam, Lord Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adidevam, the origin of all the demigods. Sa, he, Mukta Sangai, by the association of liberated persons. Isita, desired. Apavargaha, the path of liberation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, it is certain that no one bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material laws. They were factually addicted to sense gratification, and their target is women. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And thus, they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very much addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the origin of all the demigods, because the ultimate goal for the devotees of Narayan is liberation from the bondage of material existence. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj has maintained the philosophical point of view that one should give up the dark well of family life and go to the forest to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hitvatma patram grahan andha kupam vana gato ya daryam asrayata. In this verse also, he stresses the same point. In the history of human society, no one at any time or any place has been liberated because of too much affection and attachment for his family life. Even in those who are apparently very educated, the same family attachment is there. They cannot give up the association of their families, even in old age or invalidity. for they are attached to sense enjoyment. As we have several times discussed, yan mai tun nari grihamedi sukham hi tushtam. So-called householders are simply attracted by sexual enjoyment. Thus, they keep themselves shackled in family life. And furthermore, they want their children to be shackled in the same way, playing the parts of playboys in the hands of women. They glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Aranta gobhir vishatam tamishram puna punas charvita charavandanam. Because they are unable to control their senses, they continue a life of chewing the chewed, and therefore descend to the darkest material regions. One should give up the association of such demons and adhere to the association of devotees. Thus one will be able to be liberated from material bondage. Gyanatimaranjasya kinanjana shalakya chakshun militamena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I want to, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me to Juhu Temple. It's been a long time since I've been here, nearly 10 years, I think. This is such an amazing place. I'm struck with wonder every time I see this beautiful temple that Srila Prabhupada inspired the devotees to build. And thanks to all the senior devotees who are allowing me to speak. They say that a fool goes unrecognized until he opens his mouth. So I think Krishna wants to expose me as the fool I am. But anyway, I'll try to do my best to say a little something in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his classmates. He was born in a demoniac family, and this propensity to enjoy material life is very, very strong in the class of the demons. So strong, in fact, that his father, Hiranyakashipu, was willing to undergo severe austerities in order to be the supreme controller of all the material assets in the universe. So his father was a big, big demon, as Prabhupada would say, demon. Probably the biggest demon ever. He was so powerful that the demigods were frightened just by the raising of his eyebrow. They would be afraid. So Prahlad Maharaj was a small boy, and yet he was unafraid. How is this possible? He's just small, but he's not afraid of this incredible strength of his father. Because somehow or another, by Krishna's grace, he was hearing from Narayan in the womb. So even before he came out, he was already hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one hears about Krishna, when one understands the position of Krishna, how he is protecting every living entity who is surrendered to him, then one can actually become fearless. Otherwise, it's not possible to become fearless. We see in the material world, everybody is afraid. You look at the birds, they're frightened always looking here, looking there. They're frightened. All the animals, one animal is food for another. So no matter what position you have, you can still be attacked by another animal. And of course, man is fighting man. He's considered the most powerful of all the entities or animals, which mostly men are considered to be in this day and age. So they're all fighting. And everybody is afraid. And we're also afraid. I was just driving in Mumbai, and here the traffic is so crazy. I was also afraid. Walking into the middle of the street, and then cars go, whew, whew. And you don't know which way they're coming from. And for me, because I'm coming from the other country, everything's on the different side of the street, so everything's already a little bit backwards. And then everybody's coming from every which way, the stoplights. We went to this one hospital. They had a program there. And we went to this one intersection. And there was two men, two police officers in the middle of the intersection. And nobody was listening to them. Nobody paid any mind. Everybody just goes, I think they called it JJ Crossing or something. Anyway, the taxi driver said it was the busiest intersection in all of Mumbai. And I believed it. It was just like crazy. But I couldn't quite fathom how they, you know, didn't just crash into one another because there was no order. It was frightening to me, at least. I guess. And then I asked the taxi driver, how do you do this? And he says, you just have to keep a cool head and just go on, you know. I was thinking, how could he possibly drive in such a situation? So this material world is full of calamity, full of danger. This one verse, danger at every step. Every step there's some problem. Just like I have some shoes. They're very slippery when you touch water. So I was walking and just immediately, whoosh, the shoes slip. So danger at every step. You've come crashing down. But when we hear the message of Krishna, then we can become fearless. So this is the key. And when we're not thinking about Krishna, then the opposite takes place. We're interested in material possessions, aggrandizement, and women. This is the pinnacle of all material desires, the sex desire. And very, very difficult to get up. And I thought it's interesting here in this verse how it's explained that the demons not only are captivated by this sex enjoyment, but they want their children and grandchildren to also be. It's not like they're thinking, oh, I'm engaged in so many materialistic activities. Let me somehow or another teach my children to get free from this so they can be happy. No, they're thinking, okay, this is the right thing to do. Let me teach my children how to also become demons and engaged in sexual activities and become expert at material affairs. Like Hiranyakashipu was inquiring, so he wanted his son to become educated. So what did you learn in school today? And Prahlad was telling him about Narayan, and he got very upset. He wanted to hear that, I'm becoming expert in politics, how to control people, how to defeat people, how to gain money, how to enjoy women. Hiranyakashipu, the very name itself, means one who is attracted or living in the soft bed, and is attracted by the gold. So these things, gold and women, these are considered to be success. And they want their children to be successful in the same way. So they're trying to engage them in so many activities that will make that bigger and bigger. And so coming from the West, we also have a similar situation. I mean, when you watch the television or you see the advertisements, all the movies, everything. What is it? Boy meets girl, girl meets boy, boy falls in love with girl, girl falls in love with boy. Live happily ever after. Right? Isn't that the movie? Isn't that how it works? some problem is there. This one gets envious of that one. This one becomes jealous of that one. But in the end, the ultimate success is live happily ever after, boy meets girl. So this is the idea, to somehow or another find an attractive member of the opposite sex and to live happily in sense enjoyment. But here, Prahlad is telling his friends, no, this is not the right path. He says, although you are born in a demon family, he says, try to stay aloof from such persons. Try to get free from the shackles of sex life. It's a shackle, you know shackles, like iron that they put on your leg and put on your arms. Sometimes you see these pictures, these guys chained to a wall, right? With big iron things around their wrists and ankles. So shackled, they can't move, they can't do anything. Their freedom is completely hampered. When we become shackled by sex life, this is the same thing. So we want to be able to tell our friends, we want to be able to tell everybody for that matter, how to get free from the cycle of birth and death. But if we want to be able to help other people, we ourselves have to be free, right? I mean, it's a nice sentiment to be able to preach to somebody and say, oh, you should, you know, become Krishna conscious. You should become free. But it's like a man who is shackled to a chair, and there's another man next to him who's also shackled to his chair. And he's explaining to him, oh yes, I want to free you. I want to help you get free from your chair, the shackles. I want you to get out of this prison. But how can you free him? You're also shackled. So we have to become free ourselves in order to be able to help people. Right? It makes sense. How can we help somebody if we ourselves are bound? So when we free ourselves, and how do we do that? By hearing and chanting. So just hearing from Bhagavatam, explaining Bhagavatam. This is the method of becoming free, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, by chanting this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prahlad Maharaj was instructing his friends. He said, don't be involved in all this materialistic activity. You just chant and dance. Have fun, but chant the Maha Mantra. Chant the names of God. And this will free you from the shackles of material life. This is the process. And then you'll be able to free all of your friends, your family members. You'll be able to do the best benefit for everyone. Does it make sense? You've heard all these things before, I'm sure. But when we do that, then Krishna will protect us. So you all heard the story of Hiranyakashipu, how he's tormenting his son because he's preaching to his friends, how he's trying to get everybody to become Krishna conscious. And then how ultimately Lord Nrisimhadev comes and protects him. But I want to share with you something a little special that I heard from a friend of mine when I was in Russia. Because the point is that Krishna is here right now. It's not in some book which is thousands of years old only. He's here right now, present within the heart of all living entities. So, if we are surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna will protect us. Sarva dharma paricchaja mam ekam sharanam vrajam. So just surrender unto me, I'll protect you from all fear. So when we become surrendered, Krishna will take care. So anyway, I was in Russia and I was traveling there. I met one devotee, his name was Yamaraj. Now at that time they were, released from the prisons. But when they were preaching, they were put into the prison. Simply for preaching, for selling some books, they would be imprisoned. So he was put into the prison. And there were some really, heavy criminals there. Not just small criminals, big criminals. Murderers, rapists, thieves. They were all in this prison together. And here's this humble devotee, he goes in. It's frightening. Just imagine, you're with such heavy demon people. So there was one guy that was like the head of the prison. Of all the criminals, he was considered to be the most dangerous. He was known for murder. And when he saw the devotee of Krishna, then he used to torment him. Ah, you Hare Krishna, and become mean and rude to him. And of course, Yamaraj was thinking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this went on. And every time he would torment him, he would be chanting. So one day, this heavy, heavy demon comes up to him and he says, I'm very powerful in this prison. If you need something, you just tell me and I can get it for you. If you need some good food, if you need some writing utensils, if you need some books, if you need anything you want, I can get it. You just tell me and I'll make sure that you get it all right. So he said, wow, that's very kind of you. But dear sir, I have to ask you, why all of a sudden this change? He was bewildered. He couldn't figure it out. How it's possible that somebody that was so cruel and mean all of a sudden changed. He said to him, last night I had a dream. And in that dream, a very, very fearful creature came to me. He had the body of a man, but the head of a lion. And he was very, very angry at me. And then I saw all of my relatives lined up. And he said to me in a very angry tone, if you keep harassing my devotee, I will kill you and all of your relatives. And this was my dream. I was very, very much afraid. So now, I will take care of you. Anything you want, you just let me know. So this is a present day story. Not story, history, pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev. That is very close to us from a friend of mine. That is happening. And similarly, if you go to Mayapur, how many people have been to Mayapur? Most everybody. So there is also Lord Nrisimhadev. And so many wonderful stories about Lord Nrisimhadev. And this deity is an amazing deity. So his pastimes are going on right now, every day. But the underlying principle is when we take shelter of Lord Krishna, Narayan, then we'll be protected, and in this case, by Lord Nrisimhadev. So I just wanted to share that with you. Have you heard that story before? No. Not so common. Anyway, there's many stories about Lord Nrisimhadev. I'm a Lord Nrisimhadev fan. I like Lord Nrisimhadev. But Prahlad's teachings, he's always saying that the materialistic life centered around sex life and attachment to women is like falling into a deep well. Sometimes there's a well. I don't know here, but
so many places, there's the well is covered over by grass, and you're walking along and you fall in. And it can be very deep, and there's no way to escape. So you're stuck in that well. You can call for help, but nobody can hear you. So this materialistic life, family life, is considered to be like that. You get stuck in this well, and it's very difficult to get out. Just like you enter into the forest, and you're going for a nice walk, and you're even chanting japa, and everything is positive. And then somehow or another, you fall. All good intention is there, but still, you fall. And once you're down into the bottom of the dark well, then very, very difficult to get out. So, as we used to say, don't be sorry, stay brahmachari. If you can maintain the life of brahmachari, that's best. But if you cannot, if you have to enter into household, I see many boys here are wearing white. This indicates to me that either you're very, very new, or you're considering to take the household ashram. Are you boys, how long have you been staying in the temple? They're students. Okay. So you don't live here? No. I see, just visiting for some days. Okay, yeah, generally if we wear white, that means that we're a householder. We wear saffron, that means brahmachari, celibate student. And trying to maintain, and then ultimately if you can maintain this celibate life and then go on to sannyas, that's considered best. Least amount of trouble. If we enter into household life, then so many difficulties are there. So best to avoid if it's possible. Here this verse is, Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that the materialistic life is like chewing the chewed. And he gives this example of some sugar cane which has been discarded. It's already been chewed on by one boy. He throws it down. And then somebody else who has less money, he'll pick the same sugar cane up and he'll chew on it again, trying to squeeze some juice out of it. But it's already been chewed, so there's very little juice left. So he chews a little bit more and then he throws it down. And then someone else will come along and they'll think, well, maybe there's just a little bit more juice in it. Maybe I can get it. And he picks it up and he chews it again. So this is the analogy. Chewed and the chewed. Chewing and the chewed. Because they're unable to give up this desire for sense gratification. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's protected by Lord Nrisingadev, and he was able to focus completely on Nrisingadev or on Lord Narayan, and was therefore protected. And he was trying to be killed by his father in so many ways. Being thrown off of cliffs, stampeded by wild elephants, thrown into vats of oil, boiling oil. They were trying to poke him with knives. But he was always fixed and always chanting. And therefore he was feeling very, very safe. Just like a child in the arms or the comfort of its mother. When we are a small child and the parents are close by, we're fearless. Sometimes you see the father. He'll be throwing the child into the air. Isn't it? Have you seen? Sometimes they, you know, when my boy was small, I picked him up like this. Small boy, holding weight up above the head. like this, and sometimes you throw in the air and you catch. And the child is laughing, he's happy, he's completely fearless, isn't it? You've seen? So, Prahlad Maharaj was like that. He was fearless because he was in the presence of the Supreme Lord. Of course, when we have our children like that, then that's a bit of an illusion. Just imagine if the father dropped the kid by accident. Then you know, sometimes you hear about a child, he fell on his head, then he damages the brain or something. So we have to be a little careful. But in Prahlad's case, the Supreme Lord, He'll never drop you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never let you down. So the devotee can be completely 100% fearless and not an illusion about it. Not an illusion. Krishna will take care, 100%, guaranteed. Of course, it may not be the way that we think that Krishna will take care. So we have to always remember that Krishna is our well-wisher. In this instance, Prahlad was nicely taken care of and Lord Nrisimhadev personally appeared. But in our case, because we're not so 100% pure, Krishna has to train us. Some training is there. Training is necessary. Purification is necessary. But in all cases, we should understand that Krishna is our well-wishing friend. Like Bhoktaram Yagnatapasham Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Surhida Sarvadehinam. Krishna is the well-wishing friend. So sometimes when we're chanting, we're thinking, yes, I'm taking shelter of Krishna, still reverses will come. Still some problem will come. But we have to understand that all of these things are there for our benefit. Krishna wants us to become purified. So He sends some obstacles, some tests. And when we pass the test, then we move. So you guys are students, you understand. When you take some examination, if you pass the examination, then the next time you take a test, it will become more difficult. Is it? I mean, you know, you don't get the same test year after year. The difficulty increases. So, Bhakti Yoga is a school. Bhakti Yoga means school of spiritual life. Trying to advance in spiritual life. So tests will come. Krishna will send a test. And when we pass that test, then more tests will come, more difficult tests. And so on and so forth. Until the final test comes. You know what is final exam? Huh? Death. Death is the final exam. So our whole life is like a school. And death is final exam. So many pop quizzes we have along the way. Boom, this happens. Boom, that happens. Something, you know, unforeseen happens. Boom. Why did that happen? Krishna, why did you do that to me? What's going on? Pop quiz. But if we work hard at our studies, or in our case, bhakti yoga, then when final exam comes, it's easy. We should never think that, why should I study? Why should I work at spiritual life? I'll just wait until the final exam. Is that intelligent? No. If we're working at our studies the whole year long, then when final exam comes, then it's easy, no problem. But if we party, if we go out, we have friends, we neglect our studies, when final comes, then we sweat bullets. And we are very much afraid. And if we fail, either kicked out of the school or at least you have to come back and take over again. So take over again means reincarnation into another body. And we may not be so fortunate to have a human body in our next life. This human form is very rare. 8,400,000 species of life, 400,000 are human beings. So human being is very rare. Except when I came to India, there are so many human beings, I'm thinking it's not so rare. Everywhere is like thousands of people. But if you dig into the earth, there's so many hundreds of thousands of living entities. So by comparison, human being is rare. But in this human form, we have the opportunity to inquire, why am I here? Why am I suffering? Who is God? What is the goal of life? Where will I go in my next life? And if we don't inquire like this, then we're no better than the animals. Because dogs and cats are also enjoying. So there's animal propensities. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So if we're simply interested in eating, even if we eat nice, variegated dishes, sleeping, we have a big high-rise apartment, we have big soft bed. Mating, we have beautiful women. And defending, we have some big military force. If these are the only things that we're interested in, this is animal life. We're no better than the animals. So human life begins with this aham brahmasmi, to understand, what am I? Why am I here? I'm spirit soul. I'm not this body. Practically speaking, we can see that I am not this body. Krishna gives nice verse. Dehinosmin yata dehi kaumaram yavanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatarat namuyati. So even in our lifetime, we can see that we had small boy's body, now we have youth's body, and we'll have grown man's body. Eventually the body will become old. So in this lifetime, we can see reincarnation happening. They say every 6 years, the body completely changes. Even the brain cells change. The bones change. Everything is different. The body you had 7 years ago has been completely replaced. So what is it that's within the body that remains the same? That is the soul. That is our true identity. We're spiritual living entities, servants of Krishna. So we have to reawaken ourselves to this eternal truth. So how do we do that? I can see some people are sleeping. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this wakes up the sleeping soul, Jeev Jago. So we always chant this Maha Mantra. We always engage in service. And we take a lot of prasadam. And in this way, we make our pathway steadily back to Godhead. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer something. Yes, Prabhu? There's one boy back here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for such wonderful class. There are statements, in this section also, there are many statements about family life in this section of Prahlad prayers. But also, in fifth canto, there are many prayers, statements. In one place it is mentioned, woman is like a jackal, she sucks the blood of the man.
I'm sorry, I'm not having
Wife is compared to jackal, who sucks the blood of the husband. So, when we hear these statements, one understanding is that it is applicable for grahamedis, who never take to Krishna consciousness, who are stooped into material life. So, what is the relevance of these statements to a practicing devotee how much it is applicable, or is it just like a theoretical understanding that we should have? What is its relevance to devotees specifically?
Yes, of course, when they speak like this, it's quite heavy language. Devotees, depending on their consciousness, can also fall into this category again. But generally speaking, devotees are, you know, they're not like that. If you have a good devotee wife, then she is your shelter, actually. She is your shelter because she's helping you to continue your Krishna conscious life. So this is a different thing altogether. We have to try, if we want to enter into the Grihastha ashram, my friend Atmatattva, he said two things you should look for. I see. She has to be a devotee of Krishna, and she has to be a good cook. So if you want to become married, make sure you find a nice devotee girl and that she can cook. And then life will still be good. But still, it's best if you can maintain brahmacharya. Because it's not easy. We enter into household life with all good intentions. Yet still, somehow the illusory energy affects us. It's not so easy. But yeah, it's different. It's different for the devotees. Anybody who's come into Krishna's orbit, Krishna never lets them go. I love this analogy. You know, orbit, who studies these type of things, astronomy and things. So if you have a planet and a comet comes from the distance, it will come towards the planet and then the gravitational pull will grab onto it and it'll come very close to the planet. And then all of a sudden it'll shoot back out into space and it'll be going away. And then it'll get far enough away and then it'll slow down. And then again it will come back. And as it comes back, the speed will gain. So it goes like this, a ricochet. Far away, close to the planet, and then out to space, and then back, close to the planet. So Srila Prabhupada gave this analogy. Once you come into Krishna's orbit, this is orbit, this cycle. You understand? Make sense? Once you come into the orbit of Krishna, sometimes you get pulled right very, very close. So sometimes we see this with devotees. They become very, very close to Krishna. Then all of a sudden, they're gone. What happened to Prabhu? I don't know. I haven't seen him. And we're thinking, oh, he blooped. You have this term here? Bloop. You heard the story how Srila Prabhupada... What is this bloop? Who is it? I forget who it was that said that. Oh, gosh. Yeah, so they... Huh? Brahmananda. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was Brahmananda, he said. Well, Prabhupada, when you said that they fell into the ocean of material existence, that it makes some sound like something falling into an ocean, like bloop. So, we use this term. When a devotee leaves, we say that he blooped. So yeah, in America they use this term. I guess you guys don't use this term here. He blooped. So then Prabhupada said, he said to somebody else, he said, oh, what happened to so-and-so? I forget the name. And then Prabhupada himself used the term, oh, he must have blooped. But if we start going away from Krishna, we come close to Krishna, this orbit, and then we shoot back out into space. Rest assured, eventually we'll be pulled back and we get closer and closer to Krishna until He finally pulls us in and we remain forever at His lotus feet. Some other question? Something?
Guruji, the 9 planets which are surrounded to the human life, everybody goes through the 9 planets' influence on the human mind. How did Prabhupada give the analysis of overcome the sufferings of the 9 planets which comes into the human being? What is your explanation on that?
The 9 planets? Is that your question?
Yes, 9 planets.
I don't know the answer.
You don't know the answer. You just mentioned the orbit. The orbit of Lord Krishna.
Yeah, but that's something different.
Because normally the 9 planets, anger, you know, different things, you know, comes. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Ahankar, you know, the different human beings' influence comes.
I'm not quite sure what to answer.
So you're not aware about the 9 planets?
Well, I guess not, no. I don't know quite what you mean.
Which brings the human beings into a, you know, to the Krishna influence.
Yeah, I'm not really an astrologer. I don't know. I just heard this analogy with the comet. So all you're talking about, all you're considering these to be 9 planets.
Yeah, 9 planets, yeah.
Instead of planet, you can say comet. Actually, I didn't get that point.
You know that the idea is that every human being, like Prabhupada, when he went to America, the influence of the planets came into him, and that is why it took him to America and built all these ISKCON temples into the world. So this was the influence of the power of the planets which brought him to this world.
Maybe someone else can answer. I'm not quite sure how to answer.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Hare Krishna. I just give my thought on this. So, it is mentioned in the scriptures that when a person is born, as per his previous karma, previous activities, he is destined to enjoy or suffer in this life. So, his previous activities make a planetary configuration in such a way that the results of karma are experienced by him. So this is for ordinary souls, not for Prabhupada. Prabhupada is a liberated personality. He has no previous karma. He came directly from the spiritual world. So Prabhupada's visit to United States and his success was directly by Krishna's blessings and mercy and had nothing to do with the planets. We ordinary souls, we do have effect of the planetary configuration. But if we chant the holy names of Krishna, we practice devotional service, we read Srimad Bhagavatam and associate with devotees, then that effect can be neutralized. Then we are directly under Krishna's shelter and we are taken care and protected. Hare Krishna.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. By 4 things, the destiny can be changed. By curse of the Siddha Mahatma or by their blessing, the destiny can be changed. Or by performing austerity, the destiny can be changed. and by the performing devotional service, all the activities, karma, and all the reactions can be changed. Krishna says, Sarva Dharmana Parijaja, Manekam Sharanam Braja, Aham Tam Sarva Papyabhyo, Moksha Shayama Asuchaha. So if one surrenders to Krishna, come to Krishna consciousness, then the charge is taken by Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lord Krishna, blessing, takes away all the 9 planets from the human mind. So one should chant, Hare
yes.
Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Ram, Krishna. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
Yes. If one takes shelter of Krishna, then you can change your karma. Right? Haribo. So it's a fact. Srila Prabhupada said that, because there was one devotee, he was interested in astrology and he was thinking about how to protect himself from previous karma. So he wore some kavacha, something he was thinking in getting into astrology. And then Prabhupada said, you just clap your hands 3 times before the deity and he can change all of your karma. So we have some influence from the planets. That's there, of course. We've taken birth in this material world. We're not pure devotees. Somehow we're trying to be aspiring devotees. We just remain in the association of the devotees, try to serve the deities. And Krishna can change our karma. He can save us from our past deeds. I think this is the essence of that question. Don't worry too much about astrology. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is expert at astrology, he gave it up. He didn't pay too much attention to the planets and their effect on us. Okay, anything else? We're finished?
Prabhuji.
One more question. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, I'm going to stick to the class, so I'm going to ask you from the class itself. You mentioned about Prahlad Maharaj, that he is fearless. My question is that, did you hear me? You mentioned in the class about Prahlad Maharaj being fearless.
Okay.
Now, my question is related to that. My question is that that was Prahlad Maharaj, and in present current time, it's almost impossible to be fearless. Even though Father is always there, Krishna is always there, and even though you're a devotee, you're chanting 16 rounds or 21, whatever, the fear is always there. What do we do? What special we do that we could overcome this fear?
Yes. So when we first come to Krishna consciousness, of course we're fearful. Everything is there. But as we progress, the fear goes down. So they say that there's a balance, materialism, spiritualism. So right now our spirituality is less. So materialism is high. This means fearful. We're materialistic. We are fearful. So when we keep chanting, spirituality goes up, materialistic propensities go down, and keep chanting. Eventually we get to a place where there's some balance. Then we keep going, then material life becomes less, we become less fearful. So the answer to your question is, how do we do it? Practice. You want to become good at something? You practice. If you want to become a doctor, you practice. If you want to become a musician, I like to play guitar. How do you get good at it? You practice many hours a day, every day. You want to become fearless? Practice Krishna consciousness. It's not that, you know, oh, I chanted Hare Krishna, now I'm a pure devotee. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes it takes many years, can even take many, many lifetimes. But the point is that we continue to practice to the best of our ability. And then, as the materialistic propensities and desires go down, spirituality goes up, and then fearless. You know the system, you've been coming here for some time? You have some japamala?
Yes, we do.
So there it is. You continue in this way, and even we all, though we're coming from materialistic background, we can also become fearless. We have to have this hope. We have to have this conviction that if we stick with the process, eventually we'll get to that state.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Jai, Hare Krishna. I think we can end here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.